Hi everyone, welcome to episode 60 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of A Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today, it is Friday the 2nd of February. Yeah. There's been a big break.
Yes. Happy New Year, everybody.
That's right.
So, in this episode, we're going to, as we've done for the last couple of years, it's at the start of the year, we're going to take a look at all the exciting books that are going to be coming out in the first half of 2018. Mm-hmm. So get your to-read lists ready.
Yeah.
And we're going to catch up on all the things we've been reading over the Christmas break.
Sounds good.
We've been overseas for some of us. So before we start all that, just say that if you enjoy listening to our podcast, we would love you to go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called these days, and leave us a review and some stars. That'd be wonderful. And also, if you can spare a few dollars or whatever, you can buy us a coffee by going to teainthetreetops.com and clicking on the buy us a coffee button. And because basically this podcast is powered by caffeine.
It is. If we could have a sponsor, hey?
Yes. So, okay. So you've been, Philippa, you've been in Rome since we last spoke.
I know. It was wonderful. I did very little reading while I was over there, unless it was uni reading. But it was amazing. I had such a good time. I didn't go with kids. That was always a big plus.
Yep.
I just got to see so many awesome things. So it was crazy busy at the beginning because I went right after Christmas.
Yeah.
So when we went to Florence, it was just insanity because it's still part of – so in Italy, their Christmas goes up till the 6th of January. That's the last day of their Christmas because they've got this – they've got this whole big myth and storyline around La Befana, which is related to the three wise men – where she's like this old witch type lady. It's really worth Googling or looking up for YouTube. Yeah, so when we were there, on the 5th of January, what happens is La Befana, she can't find Jesus, baby Jesus, who's just been born. So she delivers stockings to all the boys and girls on her way. And if they've been good, they get treats. If they've been bad, they get lumps of coal.
Right, okay.
So in Italy, all
food
boys...
treats?
All the boys and girls get their stockings delivered by La Befana, or really the parents, on the night of the 5th. And then on the 6th, they burn effigies of La Befana in specific areas.
Wow.
So Piazza Navona, I don't know if you've been there before.
In Rome.
Yep. That's the main effigy burning site, basically, for La Befana.
It's kind of, barbarians kind of thing, like burning effigies.
It's actually all very biblical because it's all related to the three wise men and Jesus. But I had never heard the story before.
No, I haven't.
But I bought stockings back for the girls.
Okay. Do they still get Santa?
Yes, they still get Santa. Yeah, but this is like the end of the 12 days of Christmas, basically. They have the La Befana storyline. So,
fascinating.
I found it very fascinating. But yeah, until then, it's incredibly busy, but all the Christmas decorations and everything are up. So yeah, the Florence lights were amazing. They had a big light display. It was
so cool.
It was great.
You'll have to send me a couple of photos I can put up for everyone to see.
Yeah, sadly my favourite photo is with the Statue of David, and that's really not the most appropriate photo. I don't know why, I just really like that photo, and I'm like, except for the, you know, you can
genitalia.
Imagine my hand gestures right now. I got a uni subject done while I was there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So this semester may not be quite so crazy for you.
Hopefully it's less crazy. That's right. I've only got 3 subjects instead of 4 subjects to do now.
Awesome. So last week we had the launch of Grey Veil, which is the 4th book in Lynette Noni's Midoran Chronicles series.
And one of these days I'm going to read it, and it's going to be awesome because there's going to be so many of them out. I'm going to be able to binge.
That's right. Well, there's already 4 and there's at least one more.
Yep.
And in between.
Has it gotten better as it's gone?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, awesome.
So the first book was kind of tropey.
That's right. And I was a bit like,
and then it just got better and better. And the third book, Dracora, was really amazing. And we've gradually, as we've gone through this, each of the books has come out, we've drawn more and more people into reading the series. So now we've got, I think Jean was saying she read the first one, but now she's got to read all the other ones, and we're like, yes, yes, read.
Well, so, when they I feel like there's quite a bit of hype around it now, and it wasn't like that after the first one. It's been one of those snowballing effects, and that's great. I love a series that improves and just builds.
Yep.
But yes, I do feel like I'm gonna, when I've got some time, I'm gonna be sitting down and I'm gonna have to read all of them.
Yep. And Lynette's lovely. Like, she's just a really bubbly person. Yep. So her, I actually got there late. It was at Mount Alvernia College in Kedron.
Mm-hmm.
They have the most beautiful library there. But anyway, and she talked all about her, you know, writing process and how she was surprised that anyone had actually read her book in the first place.
Was this her first series? There was a lot
of people there. Yeah.
So it's really done well. It's funny because I remember when you first read the first one, you're like, oh, it's good. It's okay. It's not great, but it's good. And I was like, oh, because I bought a copy of it when we were at Supernova. I think I got you to sign.
Oh, yeah.
When the very first one came out, but I've not actually picked it up. But I feel that the momentum for this series has been building, and I keep seeing lots of people posting about it.
Absolutely. Everyone's. Yeah. We all loved the third book last year. Mm-hmm. And now I've got a copy of Greyvale I've got to try and read at some point.
Yep.
I've still got a mountain of books there that I haven't read this year. But anyway. Oh, anyway, doesn't matter.
You had a Dark Days Club book club meetup too, by the looks.
Yeah, well, we were all there. Yeah, yep. Well, not all of us, but obviously, like, there were a few who couldn't make it, but we had fun with our
like me, Dark who came Days to the club first meeting and has not been able to make it ever since.
I know.
Anyway.
No, that was good.
I know.
Well, the next time we're going to meet up actually might be in a few weeks, but after that in March, where at the end of March is when the Love, Simon film is coming out, which is the film adaptation of Simon
and the Homo Sapiens Agenda.
Yes.
I've always wanted to read it. Haven't read it.
No, I haven't read it yet
because
either.
It's contemporary. So I normally put it off, but I had to admit that trailer. I was like, "This looks awesome!"
Yeah, and a lot of people really love it, and they're so excited for the movie to come out. So I've got to read the book before then.
Yeah,
the 29th of March is when it's out in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling it's out earlier in America, but
yep.
As usual, we're not getting it till much later. But so yeah, we're all going to go and see it with the Dark Days
Very
Club.
Exciting.
So if you're in Brisbane and you're interested in coming, we're all going to go and see it together.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we got on the list? We just recently, in the last few days, Booktopia released their Australia's Favourite Author for this year. Which
I wasn't surprised.
So this year it's Matthew Riley. I haven't read any of his books.
Neither have I.
No, they they look amazing.
Do you
but
know
I just
what,
never
though?
Have.
They sound amazing, but I started one and I was like, this is a bit dry.
Oh, really?
And I put it down. But, I mean, it was right after I had Caitlin, I think, and I was reading a lot of YA, and this isn't YA.
No, it's
like
it's top fantasy, right?
Yeah, well.
Or sci-fi even, like.
Well, it wasn't either. The very, very first book was like setting, I felt, current day time, but it must go, it's like archaeology or something. I think there's archaeology.
Okay.
A bit more Indiana Jonesy. I could be totally wrong.
Is it like,
I can't even remember which one it was, but it was like a general or somebody that was looking at maps and I don't know. It reminded me more of a Dan Brown than fantasy. And it wasn't that it didn't really hook me,
okay.
And I put it back down. But there were lots of maps, and I think I was trying to read an ebook version, and it didn't really work very well.
Formatting's bad in ebooks.
Yeah,
sometimes.
And look, honestly, I read so little of it, I couldn't say it wasn't for me. And one day I will pick up one of his books because everyone loves them. But yes, that's the only attempt I've ever made.
I was looking for some of them at Bookfest last week because I went to Bookfest a couple of days actually, and if you want to see a video of what the Lifeline Bookfest looks like, go to our Facebook page and I took a video of what the tables all look like.
The billion copies of Hunger Games.
Yes. That was amazing. It just like one whole table is just full of Hunger Games. It was like,
but like a few years ago it was full of Twilight. Like, do you know what I mean?
There
you
was
can
still
really
plenty
see
of Twilight.
You
and
can
there was
see
also,
what a lot of people buy, read and then don't read again.
There was also
or
a whole table full of 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh God.
Everyone's just like, I don't want that anymore.
No.
But anyway, okay, so the second place was Leanne Moriarty, who
again, not surprised. Yeah. And the fact that Big Little Lies came out last year, it's not surprising to me that,
right.
You know,
and
it's done so well.
A lot, like they've got the top 50 Australian authors on their site, which is not working for me right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of great authors on there that we love.
Mm-hmm. And I felt that when I was looking when they at the last round, I remember thinking, oh, it's actually good because instead of it being all the sort of, you know, adult women's chick lit romancy type authors, because yeah. we've got a couple of them that are really big. There was a really good insurgence of like children's and YA and fantasy, yeah, I mean, and things like that. And I'm like, that's number great.
9 on the list. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a kids author.
That series is like, I mean, Caitlin's not interested remotely, but it seems to do so well. That's the Treehouse series, one? Yeah.
And he is the author of such gems as Bumageddon. And
see, Caitlin's not remotely interested in those sorts of things. I think they're really tailored to reluctant boys. I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't started on that yet, but I have a feeling it's coming sooner
or later. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so it's a great list there. You can go to the booktopia.com.au to have a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I will put a link as well. The other thing I wanted to mention before we get into actual what we've been reading was that I found this thread the other day on Twitter. Melissa Caruso tweeted a gigantic thread, and she was talking about fighting in ball gowns. So basically,
ball gowns aren't the problem. It's high heels to me that would be the problem. Anyway, I should have weighed in on this Twitter throw by the sounds of things.
Well, she's used examples of Disney princesses, so she's got like this whole big thread of.
But they're all big puffy dresses, and big puffy dresses would be not okay. All of
them, like. She was talking about Rapunzel at one stage. She's only got like an ankle-length fun dress, which is pretty ideal. But then she's also talking about
how it's quite slim fit, so you can't really move your legs.
The sleeves are quite restrictive in some of them, and that wouldn't be any good for fighting. Yeah. But generally fighting in a big skirt is not a problem unless it's too long, in which case you're going
to
trip over.
And you're trying to wear heels at the same time.
It was fascinating. I was like, this is the kind of thing that you need to think about when you're writing like a fantasy book about fighting in skirts. So anyway, I'll put a link to that too. And I just thought it was hilarious and really good fun. Okay, so tell me what you've been reading over Christmas.
Okay, all right. So I think when we podcasted last a long, long time ago, I think I was about to start the All the Crooked Saints by Maggie Stivata. Do I say that right? One of these days I'll actually remember. So I finished that, obviously.
Yes.
It was great. It's not so much like her
Raven Boys.
Yeah, Raven Boys. I kept thinking Raven King. I'm like, that's not book one. That's... What's book one? That's book three, I think. Yeah, Raven Boys series. It's not that. It's more like the Scorpio Races, but it still had that really beautiful blend of is this magic? Is this like not magic? It's really a magical realism type story, and that you just don't really know if these miracles are actual miracles that are happening or not. I really enjoyed it. I just find her writing, it's got that haunting sort of hypnotic feel about it.
Yep.
And she just has that really beautiful air of mystery and poetry when she writes, and I love it. So
did you actually read it, or did you listen to it?
No, I read that one.
Okay.
I read that one. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
I also... Oh, did I audiobook or did I read? No, I think I read The Extremely Inconvenient Adventures of Bronte Meddlestone by Jacqueline Moriarty.
Yep.
That was just amazing. I loved it. If I could have bottled up how good I felt reading that book, I would have. It was. Oh. I did read it. I think I borrowed the ebook off BorrowBox.
Right, yep.
It was just... Oh, I loved it. I think I loved it more than Nevermore, which is saying something, because I really enjoyed Nevermore. I just felt it was such a beautiful idea for a story, and it was so quirky, and I would love to live in her brain and imagination because I just love it. It's just that little bit off kilt, in a really sweet way though.
Yes.
Not in a crazy dystopian way, in a really in a really sweet magical way. Anyway, I'll never forget when she was on that panel about surviving the zombie apocalypse. And I think she was saying, I think I'd just sit there with like a piano and just watch it. I don't know. And I was like the only person that went out to like that. then I listened to, I think while I was reading that, I was listening to Unearthed by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner. And I always have an audio book now. It's funny because I think when we started this, I think I said, on podcast it's probably recorded forever as proof, but I wasn't into audiobooks and I couldn't do it, and it just wasn't for me. And now here I am, and I always have an audiobook on the go. Generally I have about six borrowed, and I bet I just pick and choose what I actually you know, I try a few and then I'll stick to one, generally is what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll have a ebook going at the same time. So I did Unearthed. I did that while I was in Rome. It was awesome.
Yep.
I loved every second of it. And then I just read the other day, and this was a bit of a surprise read, and was Everless by Sarah Holland, which I think has only just come out.
Yep.
At first I was a bit like, this is just like that book / the movie with Justin Timberlake in Time, which is a science fiction.
Yeah, okay.
Which is all about everyone's time. You pay for everything in time, for how long you live.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, she's just ripped that off, but put it in a fantasy setting. Yeah. And while the main theme of life and you're paying for it is kind of the same, it's still such a different, authentic book. It was, I really liked it. It surprised me. I did pick up the ending, but only towards the ending. Like, I didn't pick it up straight away and get it. I just had little vibes about where this could possibly go. And then by the end, I was like, yeah, I think I'm not surprised that was how it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Some things still surprised me, though. It was a fast read. I think I read it in 2 days. I really enjoyed it, and I'm really excited for the next one, which will be a good year away now because it's only just come out, which is a bit sad.
Yes.
And then at the moment on the go, I'm listening to The Hidden Oracle by Rick Riordan, which is book one of The Trials of Apollo. So
yep.
Magnus Chase, I must have talked about last time. I'm in a bit of a Rick Riordan vein of mind at the moment. I just love him. I love him. I just love the sass and the sarcasm. And this is even heavier, this one, so far on the sarcasm, because it's a fallen god.
Oh,
and he
okay.
expects, you know, the world to revolve around him. So there's extra sarcasm and wit in there, which I'm quite liking. And then I've got a copy of, it was a review copy, and I have to admit, I'm not too sure about it yet, but I'm only like 10% in, of Hamilton and Peggy, A Revolutionary Friendship by L.M. Eliot.
Yes.
I've succumbed to the moving my Hamilton obsession to the next stage. I don't know, though.
You don't know?
I just don't know. So far, the book's a bit dry.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing dry about Hamilton.
Witty rhymes in this one?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, I think it's actually a bit more historical. Sorry, not to say Hamilton the musical is very historical and historically accurate, but this is
like a proper historical.
I feel
fiction.
Like, am I going to feel this is just like reading a bit of a history book?
Hmm?
Maybe. We'll see. 10% in, I'm willing to give it a bit longer before I ditch it. Yes. So how about you? What have you been reading in amongst our crazy lives?
Well, I haven't read that much. Like, I did so much over the holidays. I went camping and I did all this stuff. I tried to read some things and...
I know.
So I think last time I was just about to start or just started Unearthed. So, mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little while. And I really enjoyed that too. I read Rain the Earth by A.C. Gowan?
Gowan?
Gowan, maybe.
I think it's a silent G.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to pronounce it. I've never had to speak it out loud before. But so this is – I've got my review up already on the blog, but this is like a – it's fantasy. So this girl who is she's basically getting married to – she comes from the desert. She's like a nomadic kind of desert mm-hmm. people. And she's marrying the king of this other kingdom, which is like a bit of a conquering kind of kingdom. And they're getting married to bring peace to their peoples, to join the peoples together and make peace. But so the desert community is really sort of enlightened, you know, matriarchal kind of the women are equal to the guys.
If only there were more of those societies in the world anyway. Yes. Side note.
And then and then she gets married to this king guy and he's just horrible, and I mean, it's really obvious how it's all going to play out at the beginning. Like,
because this was in one of my two next reads, you know, and I'm just like,
let me say, first part of it, I was reading it going, this is so tropey. It was a bit naive and kind of unfortunate, but then, the second half of the book was so good. It was like, suddenly she's like doing stuff, she's being part of a revolution, she's like helping people, and then it suddenly gets really dark and bloody and like this graphic violence, and then there's like torture and it's like two different books. Like the first part is a really sort of, I don't know, how would you describe it?
Do you know what
like
this is making me feel like? Wrath of the Dawn, because I felt the beginning of that was really like,
yeah, trying to remember.
Really, well, that's where he kidnaps the girl and then he tells stories and then they fall in love. And at first I was like, Stockholm Syndrome, this is wrong. But then I got really into it and I was like, this is amazing.
Well, it's, I don't know.
And sorry, it's got the whole desert-y sort of vibe to it. So that's probably more why I'm feeling it.
No, by the end, I was enjoying it. It was good. Yeah. It was pretty dark, but, you know, that was okay.
Yeah.
And I just felt like maybe the editing wasn't quite like, okay, you need to add a bit more excitement to the beginning or something. Mm-hmm. It just took a while to get going. So anyway, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. So I recommend reading it. Just just realize that it takes a while to get everything set up.
Okay. Because I'm trying to choose between, I was like, that or The Queen's Rising is the one that's on my...
I think that's on our big list of stuff coming out.
Well, it's probably just come out or is about to come out would be my guess.
Okay.
It's got a pretty cover. The cover was prettier. You're a sucker for a pretty cover. I am. Well, that was why Everless. That's why I read Everless. Oh, yeah. It's got like, the Australian cover's not so good, though, for Everless. Anyway.
That seems to be the way, though. You know, the Aussie covers aren't always as nice. Anyway.
Sometimes we get a better one. Not often, but sometimes. So that's a side issue that could be a whole topic on its own, probably.
Yep.
Okay, so don't discount it totally, is what you're saying.
That's right.
How many stars did you give it?
I think I gave it 4.
Okay.
Maybe 3.5. I enjoyed it. By the end, I was enjoying it. I just wish that it had been, you know, that high level of good all the way through rather than just right at the end. The end was pretty epic. And there is going to be more in the series as well.
Mm-hmm.
So find out what's going to happen next. After that, I read 2 contemporary Aussie YA books because I went back to record the Aussie radio show with Rhianna Patrick and Jean Wong. And so that was The Last Days of Us from Beck Nicholas. And I also read The Harper Effect by Taryn Bashford.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually reasonably similar kind of books in a way because they're...
Is that why they were paired up together?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just that they both happened to come out recently. But The Last Days of Us is like a road trip with a group of friends who go along the Great Ocean Road.
It sounds really familiar.
To Melbourne to see a band.
I've heard of this one. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was less about the road trip, more about the relationships between each of the characters along the way.
So it sounds like a bit of a coming of age story.
It is, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And The Harper Effect is about tennis. So these this girl's a professional tennis player and she's also coming of age in a way. She's learning to, you know, work hard to realise her dreams. And then her next-door neighbour, who she's been in love with for ages and who's been going out with her sister, and then they broke up. And so now she's like, oh, maybe I could go out with him, but I can't because of my sister. And then she's...
No, she can't because her sister...
Yeah,
sorry. Well, I'm sorry. Well, that thing, to me, like, is a non-issue, whole, but anyway, no, I don't know enough about the story.
It's a whole kind of
it's moral a love dilemma for it's her. A love triangle.
It's,
okay.
It's kind of like a love square because there's also Colt, who is her she's got a new coach who pairs her up with Colt as a mixed doubles partner and they end up sort of the brooding YA hero guy.
Which guy? This is back to my theory on triangles. Which guy is on the page first? Which guy do you hear about
first? Jacob, the next door neighbour.
Well, then that's the one that she ends up with.
Oh, well, that's not the way it happens.
I feel that that happens. Whichever guy gets the first airtime that you hear about, like the girl liking
but
first,
she's known
is
him
the one.
Forever.
Like, but she liked him first and it's talked about in the book first. To me, that's the one that they normally end up with.
Okay, interesting.
Occasionally,
yes,
I'm wrong. I think I've talked
theory.
About this
yes,
before.
Yes, you have, yeah.
Anyway, I have been proven wrong, but I still feel like for 75% plus of these triangle / square / octagon or whatever shape it happens to be,
yes,
the guy that she talks about liking first is the guy that she ends up with.
Wow, okay.
Anyway.
Well, in this case,
writers will not prove me wrong.
But anyway, I guess
So she ends up with the brooding YA guy.
Well, he turns out to actually be like a kind of a really nice guy.
That happens a lot, you know. That's a trope in its own because that happens in Everless too. I can't say anything more about it.
The brooding
but
guy
I picked
actually
it.
Turns out to be a pussycat.
I picked it. The one that you think is going to be this horrible person is made out to be this horrible person isn't so horrible underneath.
Well, to be fair, that's how things often happen in real life too. Like
you get a
people
different
who are
perspective
a bit standoffish
and get a bit of age and...
But anyway, the thing I liked about that one is that it's a bit of a behind-the-scenes look at professional tennis. Like,
okay, so is it all for professional tennis? Is that how she knows about it? I think her brother was
a professional tennis player. I'm not sure exactly, but she's actually from Sunshine Coast. So
yeah.
The local author as well. But so, yeah, I mean, I didn't...
Some of these Australian tennis players, they're not giving me a good... I'm sorry.
What,
do you wish I'm a celebrity? Get me out of here. No, that was what I was saying. They're not giving me a good vibe. We have some...
If you listen on Sunday night to the Aussie program on Radio National and ABC, we talk about that. I was saying that the guy Cole, because he's like sort of brooding guy, I kept seeing Bernard Thomas on the TV and it just got stuck in my head. And every time I'm reading it, I keep thinking of him all the time. It was terrible because he's nothing like the character.
Okay.
It was just...
I don't have anything to do with tennis, but I know Australia has produced a couple of real tosses. Yeah.
I see what you did there, tosses. Hard tennis.
Well, anyway. Actually, I was trying to think of a more PG-rated word for what I really wanted to say. Anyway.
Well, anyway, these two books, I mean, contemporary YA is not really my thing. Yeah. So I didn't love them, but I didn't hate them either. So, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, then give them a go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read next. I just started a few chapters in Scythe by Neil Schusterman, which is the second book has just come out.
Neil Schusterman, who wrote the most scary, horrible, terrifying series. I can't remember it. It was one of my first forays into dystopia, and I was just like, I would never, ever want to live in that world. Yeah,
that's awesome. Oh, I'm gonna have to find out.
I'm gonna have to remember what it's called. They're well known, but
well, Scythe is like this girl, like in this society in the future where people don't die anymore of natural causes, and to keep the population kind of under control, these people who are Scythes,
very much like Neil Schusterman, they
select people from the community to kill, basically to keep the population. That's down. What it's
called. Unwind. Unwind. Let me look it up. Yep. Unwind. This is his previous series. Oh my goodness. It's just
it was a bit scary, wasn't
creepy.
It?
Yeah, so parents can decide if their child is being too difficult between the ages of 13 and 18 to have their kid unwound, where the child is basically killed off and all their organs are used as transplant organs.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. What a horrible idea. I kid
you not.
How do people come up with these things?
I don't know. But there's more than one of the series, and I did read the second one, and that was interesting. But it is very disturbing, and know that, yeah, anyway.
Okay, well, no, I don't think... Be prepared.
He's got some scary ideas.
Well, Jean's been trying to get me to read this Scythe book for a few weeks now. Okay. She loved it, so I'll see how I get on.
But they don't call it killing the children. They're unwinding them because they go on to live through their organs.
Oh.
So that's how they mentally get themselves around this.
Okay.
They can also, if they can't deal with kids, they're allowed to, by law, drop the child on somebody else's doorstep. So what ends up happening, though, is families don't have the money to keep looking after these kids that get dropped on their doorstep. And so one street of fairly wealthy people will just keep ditching the kid to the next street, and the kids end up starving or dehydrated because, you know, no one's taken them actually in. Oh my God, I don't know. Horrible. It's a pretty... I read that when Caitlin was like 5 months old or something, and I was just like, oh,
I couldn't do anything like that when the kids were little.
So anyway, okay, Scythe hopefully is a little bit more of a... Scythe is hopefully not quite at that level.
No.
It still sounds similar, well, that's YA.
Oh.
This sounds still similar in the fact that...
But they are still killing people off.
That's right. But they're population not always control. Children.
So it could be anybody.
Mm.
And the girl is training to be a Scythe, apparently. So
who would want to have that job?
I'll tell you after I've read the book.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and I've got... Look, I'm desperate to read Tower of Dawn, and I'm...
So am I.
I want to... I'm going to Sydney in 2 weeks just for the day. Get this. We're going to this thing for work, and we got a flight at 5:30 in the morning, and we're flying home that night.
And you have to be at work the next morning?
That night. No, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
My boss was so angry about it. He goes, look, just we'll all work from home on the Thursday.
Oh, that's good.
And on top of that, it's Valentine's Day. It's like the 14th of February.
Just a second. On the 14th of February, that's what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm flying to Sydney
in the morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
And I'm flying home that night. So anyway, I've got like, you know, 3 hours worth of plane travel there to fill up. So
you'll have some reading time. I used to love reading on those plane trips.
That's the best thing about going on a plane for a while.
It wasn't a tearful one.
Well, books. I don't think Tower of Dawn's like that.
No, I don't think so either.
So I'll either take that or Grey Veil, maybe. Mm. We'll see how we go. Something relatively easy that I want to read desperately.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's go on to coming up. What is coming up? We've got a big list here, so get your Goodreads ready, or whatever TBR list you currently have. So we'll just go through each month and see what's coming up.
Even though we've kind of missed January.
I know. But that's okay. I do have some in January that here in the list. So I'll just start off with on January 2nd, The Cruel Prince by Holly Black came out.
Which
so
looked excellent.
It's the first in a new series, and it's basically to do with fae magic, a court, like, you know, in the high court of fairy. And I've seen quite a lot of people raving about this around Same the place. Here.
Yeah.
So I really want to give that one a go. I don't have a copy, but I might get from the library or something.
It's got a pretty cover. I kind of figured it might be worth it. It might be a buy.
Ooh, just for Instagram purposes?
Well, I've been pretty bad with Instagram recently, so maybe just to hoard in my bookshelf.
I love Instagram. I'm addicted to it. Anyway, okay.
Then I talked about this one just before, but another one that came out in January was Everless by Sarah Holland, and that's a debut. So as I said, it's really similar, if anyone's watched the movie with Justin Timberlake in it, called In Time, but it's absolutely not a dystopian, it's a fantasy book.
Right.
But anyway, the whole story of Everless, because it is a fantasy, is, you know, there's lots of world building and a rich kingdom sort of environment, but the, you know, the people in charge are obviously a bit evil, perhaps, or, you know, there's more meets the eye, and there's this like whole big mythology in their world between these two characters who create, they're the ones that created the whole extracting time from your blood and making it into coins, and it becomes currency.
Oh, wow.
So but yeah, and like, I can't think, it's like the alchemist and the witch, or the alchemist and the sorceress, and it's funny because this mythology is weaved in and it becomes really integral to the story. It was really unique like that. It's good. It's a great main character too, I thought. I liked a lot. Read it.
Okay, I will try and get a copy of that
for a debut specifically. I'm quite impressed with the writing. Yeah.
Well, also, so many books came out at the start of January. We had this is another one in those sort of young adult superhero ones. We had Batman, Nightwalker from Mary Lou, who I've heard is actually a pretty good one. I mean, I don't know that there was another one. There was the Wonder Woman book that came out during last year, which a lot of people loved. I have a copy, but I didn't get to read it. But so yeah, the Batman one came out.
It's so funny because like I've read Mary Lou, both her series, and I've read the first two books, and I haven't really, by the end of the second book, gone, I just don't really know if I can be bothered. And then a year goes and the last one comes out and I've never bothered to pick it up for either series.
Okay.
It's not that her writing's bad, and she's got a lot of people that really like her books. The ideas are good, but like, especially the second, the Young Elite series, which I thought I would absolutely adore based on the premise, I just really disagreed that that was actually the moral way the character would go.
Oh, okay.
Like the way it went down, I'm like, you're jumping at straws. You wanted it to go from A to B, but the way you got there, it didn't actually sell me. I don't know. So that's, anyway.
Okay.
That's just something to put out there.
But the other
totally
one,
not related.
The other one that's next in the series is Gone Rogue, which is the second Wires and Nerve book from Marissa Meyer. These are the
graphic novels
from in the Lunar Chronicles series. And I'm going to try and get a copy of this one because I loved the first one. It was really cool.
I thought you weren't a fan of this series. Was it Renegades?
No.
Renegades is something different. Okay, that was the one that you weren't a fan of. Okay.
I enjoyed it. It just wasn't as good as Lunar Chronicles.
Okay.
This is an extension of the Lunar Chronicles. So it's Ikko, the android going on her adventures.
Awesome, okay.
I really wanted to see this second one because the first one was really cool.
Okay.
So that was out on the 30th of of Sorry, January.
Just when you raved about it, I got very confused because it's the last time I remember. Yeah, no, talking Renegades Marissa, was Maya, different. You're a bit of a. You're
Did a bit I talk about Renegades last time? I must have.
I don't know.
Anyway, okay. My review.
No, I think you did because I think you just read it and I think you were a bit disappointed and you're a bit sad that you were disappointed.
Mm. And also on the 30th of January was Reign the Earth, which I already talked about. AC Gowan.
Awesome. Okay, and now in February, which is basically where we are right now, the first one, which I thought sounded amazing, was Tempest and Slaughter by Tamora Pierce. Now, I don't think I've actually read anything by Tamora Pierce, but people rave about Tamora Pierce and her books. And it's a duology.
It's going to be, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be. It's a new duology in the Tortle series. I don't know what that Tortle series is, but this is obviously the series that everybody raves about because it's got 20 books associated with it.
Okay, so also on the 6th of Feb, we've got The Bells by Donielle Clayton, which I think is one that you would probably sound like you would enjoy it.
Yes. Sounds good. Yes.
So the main character is a bell, which is it's set in Orleans in France. And bells control beauty, and beauty is a commodity coveted.
To ignore damn.
A commodity coveted above all else. So in Orleans, the people are born grey and they're born damned, and only with the help of a bell and her talents can they transform and be made beautiful. So I guess this is like a
dystopian
kind of society where.
Well, I wasn't sure. I think it's meant to be a mixed historical, mixed dystopian, mixed fantasy almost.
Okay.
I don't know if that's actually right, but that was how I kind of got the idea of. And what I want to know, and what I'm wondering if it's going to be like the deep and meaningful side of the story that's not actually out and out told, is are they really born grey and ugly and damned? Yeah. Or are they actually normal and it's just a society that's totally obsessed with looks. I don't know if that's going to be the moral to the story type thing.
It's quite subjective.
That's exactly right. So I'm not 100% sure if that's got anything to do with it.
I hope that's but I wondered because it sounds a bit shallow otherwise.
It's got great reviews though. This is the thing. Oh, really? It's getting some really good reviews. So yes. And then another one that's out on February 13th, so in a couple of weeks, is Honor Among Thieves, and that's written by Rachel Kane and Anne Anguire. So I've actually got a review copy of this which I haven't read. I've read both of these authors though, and I've quite liked both of them, so I thought it sounded quite interesting, but I think there's been some mixed reviews, so I think it's one of those ones people seem to really love it or hate it, and that's all books though, really, isn't it? I won't go too much into it, but basically it's about a criminal with a painful past. And then it's set in the future. It's set in, not in the future. It's a science fiction. So she moves to Mars. Sorry. Yeah, I literally just tried to summarize that without reading it.
That's okay. But she goes, she has this relationship with this spaceship, like an alien ship, which sounds really interesting, but I'm not really sure.
So has it got like an AI spaceship? Yeah,
something like that.
Oh, makes me think of Futurama. You know how they have a symbiotic relationship with their ship? Anyway.
But yeah, it sounds interesting. I mean, a lot of people are really big Rachel Kane fans. So.
And Anguire, that series was amazing. And I can't remember exactly what it was called. I read it so long ago, but it was about people that were like, everyone was living under the earth because zombies had taken over upstairs. Oh, so they'd never gone outside. And they get in and they raise her little village because people are too scared to move. And she ends up outside and realizing there were people living outside. She thought everybody was under the ground.
Okay.
But yeah, so that it was interesting. Brought that
up. It sounds good.
It was outposts or razor posts or something like that's the first one. I read it so long ago. Yeah.
All right, so on the 13th, got Sight Witch from Susan Dennard, which is actually, I thought this was going to be the next one in that Truth Witch series, which we really enjoyed. You read both of them, didn't you?
The second one was better than the first one. It improved. Yeah, it was good. I liked the first one, but I didn't love the first one. But the second one I always put that down to the audiobook voice. But the second one I read and I really liked it.
Yeah, well, I really loved the sort of concept of these two girls who had this they both had these powers and they didn't really understand them. And it was, but this book, this Sight Witch book, is actually a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a full. I'm not sure if it's a full book or if it's or just if it's like a novella type novella, thing. But it's actually set before Truth Witch. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure when the third book in that series is actually going to come out. It might not be until next year now. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. So the next one I think has a fabulous sounding name. I hadn't heard of it, though, till I saw it on your list.
Yes.
And that is Ink, Iron and Glass by Gwendolyn Clare. And it's a debut. She's a debut author, by the way. So, can she write a world gone wrong? A certain pen, a certain book, and a certain person can craft entirely new worlds through a branch of science called scriptology. Elsa comes from one such world that was written into creation by her mother, a noted scriptologist. But when her home is attacked and her mother abducted, Elsa must cross into the real world and use her own scriptology gifts to find her. In an alternate 19th century Italy, Elsa finds a secret society of Pazzerolones. No. Young people with a gift for mechanics, alchemy, or scriptology, and meets Leo, a gorgeous mechanist with a smart mouth and a tragic past. She recruits the help of these fellow geniuses just as an assassin arrives on their doorstep.
Oh my god, so much going on in this synopsis. It sounds amazing. It sounds
very steampunky,
alternate reality. Yeah.
A bit like the Jasper Ford series, like where they go into the books but less quirky and actually, more fantasy. Actually, I was
thinking of that ink and...
The Rachel Kane ones. Yeah. Actually, a mix of that too. One of
that just came...
I know, but I never read the second one.
Yeah, the second one was pretty good. But
the first one was good, but it was a little bit dry and it's big. So I was like, I've got the second one ready to go. I just haven't read it.
Some beautiful covers. I just want to have them on the shelf. It's such a good idea. But this one, this
sounds awesome too. I'd like to be able to craft a world that comes alive.
That does sound cool.
It sounds like a Black Mirror, but a nice Black Mirror. I don't know if you've ever watched Black Mirror.
No.
Okay.
I'm a bit scared. It sounds really
scary.
Yes.
Crocodile episode in the current season, don't watch it. Just don't watch it. It's too disturbing. Took things too far. Anyway.
All right. So also at the end of February, there's a lot of stuff coming out in February. We're on the 20th. What is
that? Normally stuff comes out in January and September.
And May.
May's got some too. And September has a massive hit for Before Christmas buys. Yeah.
So Mike Cole has a new, this is adult fantasy, The Armored Saint, which has got lots of glowing reviews on Goodreads already. So in a world where any act of magic could open a portal to hell, the Order ensures that no wizard will live to summon devils and will kill as many innocent people as they must to prevent that greater horror. Basically, it sounds like there's going to be like demons everywhere.
So basically they slaughter anyone with magical ability? Is that what they do? Or
I have no idea. I haven't read that much into it, but it just sounded really good and lots of people had really good reviews of it.
Cool.
And I'm trying to think whether I've read any Mike Cole books before.
Certainly haven't.
His name sounds familiar, but yeah, I'm not really reading epic fantasy at the moment just because the books are so huge usually.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an investment in time, but I was interested in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going on to March.
Okay, so Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. It's a new series. Zelie Adebola remembers when the soil of Orisha hummed with magic. Burners ignited, flames, tiders beckoned waves, and Zeelie's Reaper mother summoned forth souls. But everything changed the night magic disappeared. Under the order of a ruthless king, Magi were targeted and killed, leaving Zeelie without a mother and her people without hope. Now Zeelie has one chance to bring back magic and strike against the monarchy. With the help of a rogue princess, Zeelie must outwit and outrun the crown prince, who is hell-bent on eradicating magic for good.
I thought that sounded awesome.
It does. Sounds very fantasy, doesn't it?
Does, yes.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that's a debut. I didn't write that down, but it sounds really cool.
Yep.
All right, so we've got on the 6th of March, we've also got Hero at the Fall from Alwyn Hamilton, and this is the third book in the Rebel of the Sands.
Yep.
Which is...
I haven't read.
This is the one where it's like this gunslinging chick who is like... Are they in
a desert too or something?
Yeah, there's a desert involved, and there's like magic and like, you know, it's just, it's awesome. It's like a bit of a steampunky thing, but with magic as well. And I've got the second one, but I haven't read it yet. This one's just about to come out, the third one.
Yep.
But I'm pretty sure this is going to be the end of the, like, a trilogy mm-hmm. ender. So I'm looking forward to getting back into that series. I loved the first one. It was great.
Excellent. Also on the 6th, so there's quite a few coming out on the 6th, by the looks, The Wicked Deep by She Earnshaw. So it's Hocus Pocus and Practical Magic meets the Salem Witch Trials in this haunting story about three sisters on a quest for revenge and how love may be the only thing powerful enough to stop them. So far this is making me think of, like, these dark... Three Dark Crowns or, just with the three sisters.
Anyway.
So, welcome to the cursed town of Sparrow. So, 2 centuries ago, three sisters were sentenced to death for witchery. They had stones tied to their ankles and they were drowned in deep waters. And now it looks like every summer, I'm assuming for the last 200 years, the sisters are returning and stealing bodies of weak-hearted girls for revenge and luring boys and into the harbour and pulling them under. So this is a cursed town. Story. That's right. So I'm assuming the story is basically going to be about some protagonist, probably a feisty girl who manages to break the curse.
Yes.
And find love in the meantime.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. I think you probably summarised that quite well. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, it's probably worth a go. All right, now on the 13th of March, the one we've been waiting for, Obsidio.
Yes.
Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff, the third Illuminae Files.
Yep.
It looks gorgeous. It's like this shiny silvery cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like
thick as brick. I will be doing this as an audiobook again because I've just loved these audiobooks.
I'm going to go, because it's like around the time of my birthday, I'm just going to go and buy myself a copy for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. They're having launch tour in...
Not here.
Melbourne, Sydney and Adelaide this year. And they're not coming to Brisbane. I'm sure they'll be back for...
Something.
Probably for the Writers' Festival or something later in the year. Well, the
Writers' Festival's in May this year, isn't it?
I should have mentioned that earlier. Yeah there's a Love Yeah Day going to be on. It's actually at South Bank this time.
Okay.
And that is going to be on the 12th of May, I believe. Yeah. And we don't know any details about it yet, but it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be lots of not just authors involved, but also booktubers and
awesome
random sort of other book lover people involved.
Okay. All right. So then in April, we've got the second book in the Carve the Mark series by Veronica Roth, which is called The Fates Divide. I'm really excited for that.
I never got to read the first one.
It was excellent. Yeah. It was really good. For all her ableism, look it up. I can't explain what that actually means. It was very good.
Okay.
I think I ranted about this. I won't rant about it again now. I ranted about it at the time.
Okay. And also later in April, on the 24th, we've got Inferno, which is the fifth book in Julie Kagawa's Talon series and I believe the finale.
Okay. I never read book four.
I didn't read book four either and I don't know why. I enjoyed the first three.
Yep.
So I need to know what happens now. Mm-hmm. I'm invested.
That's
coming out in April.
And then we've got in May, A Court of Frost and Starlight, which is not a full book. It's a novella. Still, it's set in the Feyre, Rhys and the Night Court
world. Apparently, it's a few months after the end of...
Nothing's going to beat
the last
book two in that series, which is just awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the
cover is amazing.
It is. It's a beautiful cover.
I'm waiting for the next series, the Lucian series, because that's so going to happen.
Well, the next book in her new series in this won't be until next year.
No, yeah. I figured that. I got very excited when
I
saw
this
cover. I was like,
yeah. I'm like, oh
and then
God,
I was like, Starlight,
it?
Though. I'm like, this is going to be all about sunlight. But anyway.
Yeah, well,
it's all right.
I was slightly disappointed to find out this was just going to be a novella. But anyway, it'll still be good.
That's right.
I'll give it a crack. All right, I don't know if you've heard about this one, but it sounds pretty cool. So this 22nd of May, we have Fury Born by Claire LeGrant. And I've already heard a bit about this and people are already saying it's pretty good. So I don't know how people get advanced copies so
early.
Her name
sounds really familiar, but yes.
Yeah, she's written some other stuff. I'm just trying to remember what it is that she's written. But anyway, so this is another high fantasy. So when assassins ambush her best friend, the Crown Prince, Riel Duden risks everything to save him, exposing her ability to perform all seven kinds of elemental magic. The only people who should possess this extraordinary power are a pair of prophecy queens, a queen of light and salvation and a queen of blood and destruction. To prove she is the Sun Queen, Riel must endure seven trials to test her magic. That sounds a bit like
she's three not going to be the Sun Queen. She's going to be the Blood and Destruction Queen. I just know it. This is just a current thing, I reckon. There are lots of protagonists who aren't actually all fairies and rainbows and sunshine. Anyway, sorry, that's my pick.
Anyway, there's lots more to that blurb, but I'm not going to read all of it. But it sounds pretty cool. It sounds like a good.
You know she's going to be the Sun Queen now because I said that and it was recorded anyway.
No, you're generally good at picking these things, so we'll just go with your prediction there.
Okay, next is Legendary by Stephanie Garber. Now, this is book two from Caravelle. Caravelle that I think you quite liked, I liked but didn't love.
It was the one
but it had an awesome cover.
Yeah, it did have a nice cover. This is the one where they went to that, it was like, we were hoping it would be the Night Circus, but yes, it wasn't. It was like
it wasn't quite up to Night Circus standards of beautiful. It was still a good story, but it had some plot hole issues, I think.
Yes.
And it didn't have that lovely, magical, beautiful writing style behind it. And yes, it's nothing to do with this poor author. It's just we had high expectations.
Yep.
I'm still going to read it.
Yeah, I probably will too.
Though, and the cover was nice, not as nice as the first, but it was nice. Anyway. Okay.
Also on the 29th of May, we've got Lifelike by Jay Kristoff, which is his new series.
He's been
his
busy
new
boy.
Solo series, yep.
Yep.
This is like the worst title because it has just numbers in it.
Isn't he still writing the Never Night series too?
Yeah.
He's really never seeing his wife or anything at the moment, is he?
Yeah, so this is like... Let me see. It's about robots.
Cyborgs or something, right?
Yeah, robots and cyborgs, and it sounds really amazing. I'm not going to read all of it, I'm not going to read the blurb, but it does sound really cool. It's to do with robots, and it sounds really cool. So look it up.
Okay, so are we then on to June? That's the end of May?
Yep.
All right, so I don't know anything about this story. I hadn't heard of it, so let's find this out together. 1,000 Perfect Notes by C.G. Drews, coming out on June 7th. An emotionally charged story of music, abuse, and ultimately hope. Is this a contemporary? Did you add a contemporary to our list? This is a bit new.
But do you know why? Because
of the word music.
No. Because C.G. Drews is Kate from Paper Fury.
Oh, okay. I just saw music and I'm like, I see why Annie added this.
Bookstagram, Twitter, royalty.
Yes. With all the pretty colourful flowers in her Instagrams.
Yeah, this is her debut book.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, she's already got all the advanced copies out. To people, apparently, so it's very exciting on Bookstagram and Twitter at the moment.
But how can you go from being a reviewer to being an author and then coping?
I don't know, we'll find out.
Let's hope there's no mental breakdown in the middle of it. Beck hates his life, he hates his violent mother, he hates his home, most of all he hates the piano that his mother forces him to play hour after hour, day after day. He will never play as she did before illness ended her career and left her bitter and broken. But Beck is too scared to stand up to his mother and tell her his true passion, which is composing his own music, because the least suggestion of rebellion on his part ends in violence. When Beck meets August, a girl full of life, energy and laughter, love begins to awaken with him, and he glimpses a way to escape his painful existence, but dare he reach for it? Well, I'm not big into nasty mothers, but anyway.
I'll read it just because...
I will read it too.
I think Kate's awesome, but I mean, it's... Not our usual thing, probably, but contemporary YA, but...
No, psychological abuse on behalf of a parent's not really my vibe either, probably because we are parents, but anyway.
Yes. Well, I'll give it a go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And then we've got the 12th of June, here we go. A Reaper at the Gates, which is the third Ember in the Ashes
Another book. Series that I have not read, but I've always planned on reading.
Yeah, so it was... I'm pretty sure, like... It's been so long since I read book two, but this is the
ultra-violent,
kind of Troy type.
I'm okay with that. See, I should have read it. I should have read it. Yeah. It's all my sorts of stuff.
You should. It was exciting, like really exciting. The second book was pretty good too.
Yep.
It was a bit different because it was people mm-hmm. were sort of split up and they were doing their own things. But and I'm not sure if it's going to be a trilogy, like this is the last one, or if there's going to be more after this.
Okay.
But But I'll be in hold of that.
Yep.
Pretty sure.
Okay, so then we've only got like just a couple for July and later at this point, but I'm sure we'll, when we get some of the lists out for the second half of the year. No, that's right. We'll be able to go through that. But there's a couple of Sarah J. Maas ones that have been announced. So in August, she's doing Catwoman Soul Stealer. Is that a graphic novel or is it it's an actual book? Like okay. The Batman one. So it's part of that little sort of series, just different authors with different characters. Yeah. And then in October is Throne of Glass 7. So we really do need to get cracking with Tower of Dawn.
Yep. Oh, we've got until October.
We've got time. We got time, baby.
Yes. And I don't know, speaking of babies, I don't know when her baby is due. But oh,
she's pregnant, isn't she?
Yeah. I don't know. It can't be too far away. She announced it before Christmas.
I think, I'm on my break from holidays and everything babies, it's just, I'm putting it out of my mind just for a little bit.
All right. So that's our list of books that are coming out soon. It's a pretty big list. We were going to talk about Unearthed by Amy Kaufman and Megan Spooner in this episode, but we might leave that till next time. But so if you want to check out my reviews up on the blog, I believe. I think it's there. I'm losing track of what I've actually posted up there.
No, lately. You've posted something on Unearthed.
Yes, just know at this stage that we loved it.
We did.
And it is out now in around the world as well as in Australia. So go and read it and we're going to talk about it in our next episode.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to send us any feedback or suggestions or tell us which books are coming out in the next few months that you're excited about or that we forgot to mention, you can do that by emailing us at contact@teaandthetreetops.com or you can tweet it at us at teatreetops or at Oaken Bookcase.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Definitely sooner than 2 months.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.